I'm guessing you absolutely know how to make a sandwich already, and you probably had one yesterday, but did you have the time to sit down and really think about all the different ways that sandwich you had yesterday could have been even better? Well, the good people at Bon Appetit magazine have done that thinking for, like, weeks. So when we were emailing with Adam Rappaport, their editor-in-chief, and he just casually mentioned, well, you know, of course you know that sandwiches always taste better when you cut them diagonally, I knew we had to talk with him because this was going to be some next-level geekery about bread and filling. So, Adam, it's great to have you here.
It's like to be here.
So you and the magazine put together this enormous package on the A to Z's of the art of sandwich making.
Exactly. Not the A to Z of sandwiches. We're not running down every type, but like how to make sandwiches. Because I find that probably more so than any other dish, people are really particular about how they like their sandwiches. And even something like PB&J. I'm like, oh, PB&J, it's peanut butter and jelly. But then you ask someone, and you're like, oh, well, you know, obviously you use creamy. I'm like, what do you mean, obviously? No, you don't. You use chunky. And they're like, why would you use chunky? Creamy is how you're supposed to make a PB&J. And then you talk about, well, it's on white bread, of course. I'm like, I don't like white bread. I like multigrain. I want it sturdy. And then, do you toast it? No, why would you toast it? And, like, it gets into this whole sort of ethos and, like, sort of psychology of how to build the perfect sandwich.
And so from those conversations, which I would imagine are typically friendly, but the way you're characterizing them maybe are not such friendly conversations.
They can get a little heated at times.
Okay, so let's, I would love to hear some of the letters of your sandwich alphabet.
Well, all right. Well, let's get, for instance, P is for PB&J, and it's obviously it's for PB&J. Talking to some professional chefs, sandwich makers, and you're like, okay, well, how clever could they get? Or they just make the same thing. And it was interesting talking to some of them, for instance, like this one sandwich maker, Pete Lemos, at Wax Paper in Los Angeles. He spreads the peanut butter and then crushes fresh peanuts on top of the peanut butter, which I like a lot, and then does a strawberry jam and then slices fresh strawberries on top of the jam.
Oh, my goodness.
So almost, I'm like, oh, like that, yeah, like that works.
I love that idea.
Yeah. Tommy Habits at Bunk Sandwiches in Portland. This is kind of cool. He'll do peanut butter on both slices of the bread so the jam doesn't like leach into the sandwich, the bread itself. Because when you were a kid, you'd bring your sandwich to school and
half of it's soggy.
Yeah. And you're like,
the jam is water based.
Yeah. So then he'll do the jam in the middle and then sprinkle it with some sea salt.
Very smart. Like, yeah. So there's a barrier philosophy.
Exactly.
I feel like when you put mayonnaise on a sandwich, almost always I feel like it needs to go on both sides, both pieces of bread for that same reason. Like if there's like lettuce or tomato, the mayonnaise will act as that barrier. You want to protect the bread.
Well, yeah. With mayo, I'm one of those guys, I will literally just have a mayo sandwich. I love mayonnaise. Give me like a jar of Hellman's and a baguette and I'm all good. And of course, I know our listeners are in the South and be like, why aren't you using Duke's? And I'm like, because I can't find Duke's up here in New York. But it's interesting, yes, because mayo is fat. It also repels any sort of wateriness, you know, because oil and water don't mix. So if you have a wet tomato, that mayonnaise on either side sort of buffers it. And also, I think for flavor-wise, you always want to put something on both sides, you know, because you want that mouth feel to sort of connect on all different levels.
Yeah. Although I am also a firm believer, if you only put it on one side, the mayo has to go on the bottom piece of bread. Meaning the one that is going to hit your tongue. Because when you have mayo on the top, like if you're putting it on like a burger bun or something, it's on the top. I feel like you never taste the mayonnaise because you have to like fight through everything else before you get to the mayonnaise. And let's face it, the sandwich, well, to me anyway, is like at least 49% of the time, like a vehicle for mayonnaise.
I think a vehicle for mayonnaise and condiments in general. If you think about like, a veggie burger is not a sandwich, but a veggie burger, even if you don't love veggie burgers, like you still get to put all the other good stuff on there, like a regular burger.
No shame.
But I think in our A to Z guide, like A is for architecture. And that's the first thing you have to consider. You are building a sandwich. It's not a recipe. It's like, what do you put where? And like, for instance, with cold cuts, like I love good ham, like prosciutto cotto, like cooked prosciutto or a Paris-style ham. But I will always be like, if I'm going to the butcher to get some or the deli, whatever, like I want that shaved so thin it's almost transparent. Huh. And then you can sort of like create these little folds and like it's almost like a meat rosette. And that creates a sort of a loftiness to the sandwich. Like I don't want those, as a kid you'd have those thick sliced cold cuts with that weird rubber sort of stuff on the outside. And it'd just be like this dense sort of mouth of like meatiness. Like I want airiness and like that stuff matters. And then, well, where do you put the avocado so the avocado doesn't slide out? And like, you know, like these things are important.
Yeah, totally. I want to get to this idea of the thin sliced meat thing, because when I was a kid, my folks worked in New York City. They worked in Chinatown. And so Little Italy is right next door. Yep. And so they would go to like the delis in Little Italy. And no matter what they got, they would always come back super, super thin sliced. Like you said, like they're almost filament thin, right?
Yeah. First of all,
it makes such a difference.
The Italians know what they're doing when it comes to cold cuts, all right? And also what's interesting in Italy, the meats are always shaved super thin because also especially in the Japanese culture, like texture matters when it comes to food. And it's an important element in the taste experience. It's not just the flavor, it's the texture also. And also what I like about Italian sandwiches, like ones you get in Italy, they don't overstuff the sandwich with meat. If you get a prosciutto or a mortadella sandwich, there's like an equal amount of meat to cheese to bread to some sort of butter or mayonnaise or whatever. It doesn't have to be this 6 inches of meat,
like clubbing you over the head.
Yeah, which it's okay if it's pastrami because that's kind of a different thing. But basic cold cuts, like I don't need that much mortadella in my sandwich.
And it's more about the combination than it is like.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Every element in a sandwich, again, with architecture, should complement one another. Not one element should sort of dominate.
Yeah. I have to ask you about one of your letters.
Oh, okay.
D.
Yes.
For diagonal.
Oh, yeah. Well, obviously. Again. What? Every sandwich tastes better when it's sliced on the diagonal. So you get those triangular shapes, and that one pointy end is like the entryway for that first bite. You're like, okay, obviously I know to start there. And it just looks so much more modern. It's like a Mies van der Rohe skyscraper or something. It's like clean angles, and you're like, ooh. That looks good. Sliced in the middle, it's like I'm in second grade and just eating that peanut butter and jelly sandwich where the jelly's leaching through the bread.
I'm going to look forward to having this conversation with you again like 4 years from now when like plating trends are all rectangles and you'd be like, no, obviously you have to slice the sandwich down the middle so you have two perfect rectangles.
Oh, God. I'm a traditional modernist. Speaking of bread, another great tip in this package from Mason Hereford at Turkey and the Wolf in New Orleans. He, for all his sandwiches, and we named his restaurant Best New Restaurant in America this year, et cetera, et cetera. He griddles his bread. So he butters both sides of each sort of like nice white bread, fries those in a pan so they get nice golden brown. And then what he does, which I love, he either puts them on a cooling rack or builds a little teepee of them leaning against each other and lets the griddled toast rest for 30 seconds before he builds a sandwich. So the fat kind of collects back in, so it gets crisps up, so it's not like too warm and soggy as soon as the thing's going on. And you get this crisp, golden, crunchy bread toast sort of thing around any sort of sandwich. And it's like that's one of those key moves. You're like, oh, that's genius. I'm doing that.
Yeah, totally. It's like, oh, if you have like beautiful French fries or fried chicken, like you don't put the lid back on.
No.
You don't put the cover on it.
I've done that before. I've gone to get takeout fried chicken. I immediately get to my car and I open it up and I spread it all over the passenger seat.
Yeah. Just directly on the seat. It's like,
sorry, honey, but I had to.
I got to save the crispness. Okay, what are other letters that you love?
All right, so E for egg sandwich, which you see a lot of these days. Egg sandwiches, I feel like, are having a moment after being sort of a basic thing in at least New York City for decades. What you see like at Wiley Dufresne's Dew's Donuts out here in Brooklyn, which he does, which is actually a classic French technique, is making the scrambled eggs super soft and custardy. And it's that technique where you make a scrambled egg over medium heat and you're constantly just moving your little rubber spatula around. So it almost takes on the consistency of soft polenta, these teeny little curds. It never develops any sort of skin or brownness. And it's done before you think it's done. And it should be, like I said, like soft pudding. And you just ladle that onto a sort of toast or cheese or whatever. And he also adds, which I love to do also sometimes, a dollop of cream cheese into the scrambled eggs. That just gives it this magical creaminess and sustains that creaminess so the eggs never seize up. And you have that, and if you want to throw some like American cheese on there, you can also do that. But it's that texture, crispy griddled bread, custardy soft scrambled eggs. And again, it's just like, it's still just eggs and toast, but you're like, oh, that's a whole different level of eggs and toast that I've never experienced.
That's awesome. Okay, let's get out of here. I got to get a sandwich.
Exactly.
Thanks, Adam.
Thanks, Francis.
Adam Rappaport is editor-in-chief of Bon Appetit, and you can find their guide for sandwich making in their March 2018 issue. Oh, and head to splendidtable.org. They have a recipe for us. It's for their Green Goddess tuna salad sandwich, and it's terrific.